Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going to find
one.
Are
you confused with the ups and downs in the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stuff.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Hello, Peter Schiff, and a very busy Wednesday. A lot of stuff going on in the market. I am here with you live for 1 hour, Wall Street Unspun. Every 8 p.m., every Wednesday evening, live 5 p.m. Pacific on my website, www.europac.net. And on the shortwave radio, 5.07 megahertz. And the number to call toll-free, 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. A lot of big news happening in the markets. You know, overnight, we had some rumblings again from Chinese monetary authorities mentioning the need to diversify their dollars, their $1.4 trillion in foreign reserves out of U.S. dollars or into stronger currencies and out of weaker currencies, which obviously is talking about the dollar. The dollar has hit a string of successive lows. It seems to be gaining a little bit of strength overnight, although the S&P futures are very weak. But listening to some of these numbers, the Canadian dollar today hit $1.10. $1.10. The Canadian dollar has never been that high in its history against the U.S. dollar. I predicted that the Canadian dollar would hit 110 by the end of the year, and it's done it before the end of November. But it was a pretty bold call when I made it, and it turned out to be true. The British pound closed today above $2.10. The Australian dollar hit a new record high, closing above 93 cents. The Swiss franc did not hit a new record. It hit a new multi-year high today at about 89 cents, but it did get up to about 90 cents in 1995. I think it will take that high out. And the euro got above 147 for a new high. And also, the dollar hit a new record low against what the Deutschmark would have been. You know, if you took apart the euro and made it back and recalculated where the mark would be, we're talking about new record lows on the dollar against the old Deutschmark. At the same time, gold prices hit about $840 an ounce in the December contract. A spot was up about $20 early in the morning. It only closed up about $8, but we're still at $825 in the spot market. Silver hit a new high since 1980. It got up, well above $15 before selling off today. Oil prices hit a new record high of over $98 a barrel. There was some profit taking there as well. And today the Dow Jones closed on the low of the day down 360 points. The Nasdaq down 76 points. And there was carnage in the financials, which I've been warning about. More losses. You've got allegations of fraud now. You've got investigations. You got Fannie Mae today that was down 10% on the day. I predicted in my book Crash Proof that Fannie Mae was going to zero. I still believe that company will go bankrupt and need a government bailout, as will Freddie Mac. Many of these Wall Street firms, these big investment houses, are going to go bankrupt. The bottom line is, trillions of dollars was loaned out to Americans who simply cannot pay it back. You know, we've borrowed tremendous amounts of money from the rest of the world. You know, I was on Fox again today. And, I wasn't able to comment on a couple of these allegations, but one of these guys, Stephen Blair, mentioned that I wasn't able to say anything because that was the end of the show. He said the problem with Peter Schiff is he's been right for the past 2 weeks, but wrong for the past 5 years. You know, the people on these shows still have no clue. I have been right for the last 5 years. There's nothing I've said in the last 5 years has been wrong. All people have to do is go to my website, listen to the archives, look what I've written. It's amazing how these people think that I've gotten it completely wrong when I've been the only one on these shows that have gotten it completely right. You know, They think, though, that because I've been talking about the problems in the U.S. economy for so long that I've been wrong, because they think the U.S. economy is great. Well, the bottom line, the reason that I've been so right, and when I'm talking about right, I'm talking about investment advice, the reason I was able to accurately forecast the collapse of the dollar was because I understood the problems facing our economy. I understood the bubble that our economy actually was, that we had a phony prosperity based on consumer debt, and that when you borrow to consume, you ultimately have to pay the price. And that's what we're doing now. And, you know, my critics are simply looking at these phony GDP numbers and believe we have prosperity, but they're not looking at the fact that the government is lying about inflation, and they don't understand that that GDP, that phony GDP, was the result of all the money that we borrowed. And now we have to suffer the consequences. Just like the reason that stocks like Merrill Lynch is hitting a 52-week low, and Citicorp and Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers and all these companies are collapsing, is because they had phony earnings, just like we had a phony economy. Their earnings were based on loans that ultimately can never be repaid. You know, they made all kinds of fees in marking these products to these fantasy markets, pretending they were creating AAA-rated paper out of junk bonds. And in the short run, they made money, but only on paper. Now it's all falling apart. Yes, our economy looked pretty good to the casual observer on the surface. But when you look beneath the surface, like I did, you understood that it was really rotten to the core. There was a huge problem. And that's why I told my clients to get out of the dollar. That's why I recommended foreign currencies. That's why I recommended gold. That's why I recommended oil. The reason that my investment advice has been so accurate for so many years is because I've been right on the U.S. economy. The reason my critics have given such bad investment advice is because they've been wrong. They just haven't figured it out yet. They still haven't woken up. You know, they still haven't, you know, from the Matrix, they haven't taken that pill yet and come out of their fantasy world that they're living in, where we've got this strong, vibrant economy. We don't. And one of the catalysts for this big sell-off today was that somebody called attention to it overseas. And again, we had terrible news. Look at the news out of General Motors, one of their biggest losses ever. You know, if you look at what's happening in the stock market, every single company that's reporting bad numbers, it's all because of the same reason. They're U.S. markets. The only stocks that are holding up are the ones that are able to hang their hats on the revenues they're earning abroad. Everything connected to the U.S. economy is blowing up. And this whole economy is unfolding, collapsing right in front of our eyes. It's happening exactly the way I predicted it would. It's happening exactly the way I described it in my book, Crash Proof. And if you haven't read my book yet, you got to pick it up, order it on my website, on Amazon, or get it in a bookstore. Because, you know, that book is not going to be a forecast for much longer. Everything is coming true so rapidly that it's going to quickly become just a history book. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of history books. There's not going to be a shortage of Monday morning quarterbacks who are going to come up and talk about and write about these problems. But there's not that many people who talked about them or wrote about them in advance when there was still some time for people to take action. You know, even some of the anecdotal evidence that has come out in the last couple of days, you know, that supermodel Giselle, you know, the CNBC and Fox have been playing it up because it gives them an opportunity to show pictures of a beautiful girl in a swimsuit, and I certainly don't mind looking at those pictures myself. But, you know, there's been a lot of people poking fun of this. A lot of people have been saying, ah, this is the sign that the dollar has bottomed out, when even the supermodels are shorting the dollar. But the reality is, she's not shorting the dollar. Somebody like a Giselle who is entering into contracts, modeling contracts, where, you know, you don't get paid for years. You agree to represent a company, and the company signs a contract where they're going to pay you money over 2 or 3 years. Why would she want to agree to be paid in dollars? You know, the problem is, she's not a trader, right? This is not a sentiment indicator where somebody is trading. She is just like anybody else, making a decision and expressing her lack of confidence in the future value of our money. And this is the problem, because we don't have a gold-based monetary system. We have fiat currency. And what gives it value? Confidence. That's all that gives it value. You know, for a while, what gave the dollar value when we were off the gold standard is people wanted dollars to buy our exports. They wanted dollars to buy our products. but we know they don't need them to buy our products anymore because we have a huge trade deficit. So the reason we were able to live with a trade deficit is because we were able to exchange our money for the products everybody else produced. And why were they willing to accept our money? Because they had confidence in its future purchasing power. So they were willing to take our money and loan it back to us because they had confidence in what it would be worth. But that confidence is waning. And what the attitude of this model just shows how pervasive this is becoming. And once confidence goes, it's gone. And, you know, the only way that we can restore confidence in our money right now, we would have to aggressively raise interest rates. Well, what's the chances of doing that? It's practically nothing, because the Fed knows the only way to protect the dollar is to destroy the economy, right? They have to bring on a recession, which, of course, we need. The recession is necessary. It's not going to be fun, but with an election coming up in a year, they don't want to do it. And what we're basically telling the world is, you know what? We don't care about the dollar. It's going to keep on going down. And so if we don't care about the dollar, why should anybody around the world want to convert their currencies to dollars and loan them to us if they know for sure that they're not going to get paid back? And why should anybody around the world want to enter into contracts that are denominated in dollars when they have no confidence what, if anything, the dollar is going to be worth when they ultimately get paid? And this is a big warning sign. I don't know. This could be the beginning of what I've been looking for. I think there can be an avalanche of selling. A couple of brokers have told me that some of the clients are calling up thinking, hey, is this a good time to take profits? No. You can't take profits, because if you take profits and put them back in dollars, you risk losing everything you've gained. You know, you don't want to be caught with a dollar when the music stops. The only way to take profits, so to speak, would be to sell your foreign stocks and buy gold, or sell your foreign stocks and just buy and leave it in foreign currency. But, you know, to move money back to the U.S. dollar would be suicide right now, even though, is it possible the dollar could rally? Of course it is. You know, is short-term sentiment very negative? Yes, it is. Does that mean the dollar could rally? Of course. But you know what? Ultimately, it's not going to rally that much. Even if it rallied 10 or 15%, you know, I don't think it'll rally that much. But even if it did, it's not worth trying to get back into the dollar and finesse it, because there is so much more downside risk. The chance that the dollar could plunge 20, 30, or 40% or more from here is very real. It ultimately will do that. It could fall a lot more if the Fed doesn't get religion and start administering the tough medicine that is long overdue. So resist the temptation to book these profits back into dollars. Forget about the dollar. Just look at your portfolios for what they are. They're assets. They're foreign assets that you own. Don't look at the statement. Don't worry if it's going up. Just keep your stocks. Keep your dividends. That's the only safe way. I've used the analogy again. You know, the U.S. is the Titanic. You're in a lifeboat. Stay in that lifeboat. Don't risk jumping off the boat because you like the song that they're playing on deck and you want to go back on for one quick dance and then get back on the lifeboat, because you don't know that there's going to be a seat. You don't know that you're going to be able to get back on. So if you've done the right thing, if you've got an account with us, just stay the course. If the dollar snaps back a little bit, so what? You know, there's far more risk of the dollar free falling than the dollar rallying. And, you know, even though the sentiment on the dollar is negative, it's not negative enough. Yes, people think the dollar is going to go down, but there's not a lot of people who think it's going to collapse. And most of the people who think the dollar is going to go down think it's a great thing, think it's great for America. All we talk about is the benefits of the weak dollar, you know, the silver lining to the weak dollar. When the sentiment is really negative on the dollar, there will be nobody talking like that. It will be real negative sentiment. And people are still saying the dollar's decline is orderly. You know, I still argue with that concept. I mean, what's orderly about going broke? I mean, if the dollar declines steadily, you know, why is that something that I should celebrate as opposed to the dollar, you know, getting it all over with? I mean, what would you rather do? Rip a Band-Aid off real quick or just slowly pull it off? You know, I mean, sometimes it's better just to get it over with quickly. You know, I don't know why this slow, constant, you know, day by day, methodical decline in the dollar is somehow a good thing just because we're being impoverished slowly. And when I say we, I'm not talking about myself or my clients. I mean, I'm obviously, everybody knows how many gold stocks I have. Most of the gold stocks before pulling back today hit new 52-week highs. So I'm personally benefiting from this. But, you know, I mean, I'm not happy about it. I'd rather be profiting from a profitable America. I mean, I would much rather be doing that. I can't help it that I'm forced to profit from the demise of this country. I mean, that's not what I want, but that's just what's happening. I have to play the hand that I'm dealt, you know? I mean, it's better to do that than go down with the ship. But, you know, we've got to do what we've got to do. Anyway, I know the phone calls are there, so let me quickly take a few calls. I've got Tom from Chicago, Illinois. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, Peter. First of all, thank you for shedding light on these funny government numbers and just the lack of any kind of guts of our leadership over the last couple of decades to do the right thing.
Yeah, you know, it was fun. I was watching CNBC this morning. You know, they haven't had me on in a few weeks, and they refused to have me on, I think, until I stopped going on Fox. So I'm going to have this argument with them. But I watched Mark Keynes this morning, and he was saying, how come the weak dollar isn't causing any inflation? Why are there no signs of inflation everywhere? And I'd like to just, you know, bat him over the head. Like, you know, no signs of inflation. What do you call $98 oil? What do you call $840 gold? The problem is the only places they look for signs of inflation is government numbers. And as long as the government numbers say there's no inflation, they don't believe what they can see with their own eyes. It's just amazing.
Mm. It sure is. Peter, my question for you is, I just read your book, and it's a call to action. But I don't have a million-dollar portfolio. I have maybe $50,000.
I have never imposed a minimum on any clients. People can send me any amount of money. No account is too small. We will invest whatever you have. I mean, and we don't have to do a lot of trading. I mean, we're not managing the money on an active basis. What we're trying to do is find safe, dividend-paying foreign stocks that will protect your wealth and provide you with an income stream. And so all we have to do is set your account up, buy you the stocks, and now you're fine. You're going to get your statements, you'll get your dividends, and, you know, we can contact you from time to time. You know, obviously people with small accounts, you know, aren't going to get called as often as people with larger accounts because, you know, the brokers are going to go with the bigger accounts. But the small accounts are still going to get the same investment advice. And, yeah, if you send in $50,000, you're not going to have as diversified a portfolio as somebody who sends in $1 million, but you will get a few stocks, good stocks with good dividends, and you will protect your wealth. Nothing is too small. I want to protect the wealth of as many American citizens as I can. It is important that we have a core group of American citizens who retain their wealth so that we can help rebuild this country, so that we can help finance the productive capacity of the future, so that all the productive capacity doesn't end up in the hands of foreigners. At least some of it should be owned by Americans.
Well, thanks, Peter. I will be in touch with your people, and hopefully you can help protect some of that $50,000 that I've worked so hard to save.
We'll protect every quarter of it.
Thanks.
Let's go to Abil in New Jersey.
Hey, Peter.
How are you?
I'm fine. I wanted to ask a question and make a comment at the same time. If you go back to 2000, a lot of people don't seem to know this, but Saddam Hussein began to sell his oil not in dollars but in the euro. And, you know, we went to war with Iraq and we got rid of him. Do you find it somewhat ironic that in July of this year, Iran told Japan, if you're going to buy oil from us, you got to pay us in the euro or in the yen, but we're not accepting dollars. And because Iran has done this, we now have, I believe, two or three aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf.
Yeah, I mean, I have heard the theory before that one of the reasons that we attacked Iraq, and one of the reasons that we may attack Iran is their move out of dollars into euros. And I don't, you know, I have some sympathy with the fact that maybe that was partially the blame. I don't know. You know, I'm not a big one for government conspiracies. But, you know, there is essentially the world is going to dump the dollar. There is no way around it. The world is not going to accept our money. And no matter how big our military is, no matter how many planes we've got or aircraft carriers, we're not going to be able to force our fiat currency on a world that doesn't want it. And if we have the monetary policy that we have today, the world will not accept our paper. We have to defend it. If we want to have the world's reserve currency, we've got to protect that currency. We have got to do what it takes to protect our currency. If it means a recession, if it means that big brokerage firms go bankrupt, if it means that that mortgage lenders go bankrupt, if it means that Americans lose their home equity and that we're in a recession, so be it. That's what we've got to do, because we can't just keep printing money and telling our creditors to eat cake.
But, Peter, just one more question. As the dollar gets weaker, I mean, do you really believe that oil can go up to $200 a barrel?
Of course. There's no limit to how high oil prices can go in dollars, because there's no limit to how low the dollar can go. Now, for all I know, it could take $1 million to buy a barrel of oil. But the question is, how many euros will it take? You know, once the Chinese really allow their currency to rise, I think the Chinese currency
cheaper.
Triple, quadruple, or more against the dollar, which means the price of oil could come down 75% for the Chinese, yet still double for us.
Yeah, I know that kind of blows my mind. I mean, the fact that 1.3 billion Chinese can have cheaper oil than three.
Yeah, look, how much you think a barrel of oil costs for the people in Zimbabwe?
Maybe.
You have hyperinflation. This is what happens.
It's like $7,000.
It's probably more than that. I can't even keep track of it. But I mean,
Yeah.
Everybody in Zimbabwe is a multimillionaire. But what good is it doing them?
Because Mugabe's printing money. That's why their inflation is so high.
Well, that's why our inflation is so high. We're printing a lot of money. We shouldn't be doing it. And people are losing confidence in our dollar, and it's spreading. It's becoming more pervasive. And, all we do is we send that clown, the Secretary of the Treasury, to come up there and say a strong dollar is in the national interest as it sinks day after day, and the U.S. government is doing absolutely nothing about it. Now, of course, the only thing they can do about it is to stop printing all this money, to tighten up on credit, to raise interest rates, and bring on a recession. You can't, of course, you can't avoid the recession. That's the price we have to pay.
Well, Bernanke seems to think we can't. All of those clowns on CNBC are still saying, oh, inflation is only 2%. And I know that's a lie because, my God, like a gallon of milk is almost at $5 now. How can they say inflation is only 2%?
All they can do is say, well, cell phones are cheaper and iPods are cheaper and laptops are cheaper and all that is a bunch of bull. Yes,
but
that's
a cell phone.
The same thing happened in the 1970s. Consumer electronic prices have always fallen. That doesn't mean there's no inflation. And, of course, people buy a computer or a television set. You buy one, and then you buy one a few years later. You don't buy them every day. You don't buy them every week. That's not your real budget. Your budget is what you spend on food and energy, what you spend on health, on education. All the things that are going up in price are what Americans have to spend money on day in, day out. The things that are going down in price are some of the big ticket items that we buy once in a while. But you know what? If we're spending so much of our money on this necessities, even though the price of these things are falling, Americans aren't going to be able to afford them. But what's going to happen when the dollar really collapses against these Asian currencies? Even those things are going to go up in price. Everything is going to go up in price, and it's going to, the inflation that we're about to experience, the increase in consumer prices, is going to be unprecedented. It is going to dwarf anything that we saw in the 1970s.
Is this inflation going to be like the Weimar Republic?
I hope not.
Okay.
I hope the Fed gets religion and comes to its senses before it gets that bad. The risk we take is that it does get that bad. But the only way to prevent that, Weimar Republic hyperinflation, is for the Fed to bring on the recession. For economic numbers be damned. Forget about how weak the economy is. Forget about how weak Wall Street is. We're going to raise interest rates anyway, and we're going to raise them aggressively. And then we're going to let the chips fall where they may. That's what they have to do. They have to level with the American public. They have to let the public know we're going to have a recession, and we deserve it. This is the price that we pay for our extravagance. We borrowed a lot of money. We bought things we couldn't afford with money we didn't have, and now we're paying the price. Somebody has to level and be a straight shooter. If we don't do that, our currency is finished. Anyway, thank you for the call. Let me take a quick break, and we will be back for a couple more calls in the next segment.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro-Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro-Pacific Capital.
Okay, we are back. And let me go right to the phones. I've got Walt in California. Go ahead, Walt.
Hey, Peter. You got a lot of fans out here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just so you know, I was worried today, but gold and silver seem to be recovering in the Sydney and Hong Kong markets. So someone knows a good bargain.
You know, there's always going to be volatility in these markets. You know, people, when you understand what's going on, you know, it's all a bunch of noise. There's always going to be trading. There's always going to be ups and downs. You know, I remember, you know, I've been advocating buying gold for a long time since the beginning of this radio show. You know, of course, whenever I bring it up on CNBC or Bloomberg, they always want to go back to 1980 and say what a bad investment it's been since 1980. But, you know, I wasn't recommending it in 1980. I didn't start until 1999, and it's been a great investment. Sure, anybody who was dumb enough to buy gold in 1980 and hold it all the way to 2000, yeah, they made a lousy investment. But times are different, right? Buying gold in 1980, that's like buying stocks in 2000. Those are the people who have made this mistake. People can't understand that this is a new cycle. And I'm not telling people to buy gold and keep it forever. I'm sure at some point gold's going to get expensive and stocks are going to get cheap, and we'll be smart enough, hopefully, to sell our gold and buy stocks. But right now, stocks are still overvalued and gold is still cheap. And, you know, don't worry about the noise. I mean, gold could drop, so what? I mean, I've just been advising people to buy every dip. And if you don't own any gold, don't necessarily wait for a dip. Just buy some. And even if it dips, it's not the end of the world, because it's going to go higher. And the important thing is to have it. The same thing with getting rid of your dollars. I mean, yeah, can the dollar rally? Of course, it can always rally. You know, I remember, you know, we had that big argument within the firm that kind of split it up, because a few of the people at Euro-Pacific Capital were so convinced the dollar was going to go up, that they wanted to sell all of our foreign stocks and buy dollars.
I don't think it will.
And, of course, the dollar did rally that year. But, you know, the rally was not that big. And, of course, foreign stocks did so well that year that even though the dollar rallied, our foreign stocks still did better than domestic stocks even during a year when the dollar went up. And then, of course, it was straight down. And those guys that left the firm, you know, they never actually recommended getting back out of the dollar. And that's the risk that you take, is if you try to finesse this thing, you try to get out of the dollar because you think it might bounce. You know, I got 9,000 clients. How the hell, why would I want to risk getting everybody out of a lifeboat and hope I can get them all back in time? You know how hard it was to get all of you people to listen to me and get all your money into this safe place? I'm not going to jeopardize that. I worked hard. You know, I mean, what would be the ultimate? Let's say somebody sent me an account 7 years ago, and they sent me a couple $100,000, and now it's worth $1 million. And then I say, hey, let's put that $1 million. Let's get it in the cash for a while. Let's wait for a rebound. Then all of a sudden, there's hyperinflation, and the difference between the $200,000 that they sent me and the million that they've got, you know, is insignificant. Maybe it's an extra cup of coffee at Starbucks. You know, I don't want to see all that purchasing power that we worked so hard to maintain. I don't want to risk it. I don't want to risk it on a gamble that we might get a bounce in the dollar. You know,
well, why would any of these governments that we've ripped off with these subprime mortgages that are holding the bonds, like that Northern Rock, the Bank of Germany, these people must be fuming.
Well, of course. I mean, this is the problem. You know, I wrote about it in one of my commentaries. I mean, here we are yelling at China for exporting defective toys to us when we've been exporting trillions of dollars of defective bonds to the rest of the world. You know, talk about mislabeling. We labeled our bonds AAA when they were junk. And, you know, yes, the world is starting to realize that America is a bad credit risk. that we can't pay back our debts, and even if we do pay you back, we pay you back in debased money, so you never get your money back. And this is unraveling. And the reason that so few people on Main Street, Wall Street, understand it is they never understood the problems in the first place. These guys don't understand. They just think this is a great economy. They think that we don't have to produce. They think the dollar is as valuable as gold, that people want it because it's so great. They're so confused that they can't see this. They're not going to see it until it's too late, until the whole thing collapses around them. They are not going to be able to tell. It's just a use of cognitive dissonance. It's mass delusion. It's what arrogance, whatever it is. But the reason I've understood the truth from the beginning, I'm able to see it. It's not that I have some kind of mystical clairvoyance or I possess some super intelligence. I don't. I'm just a normal guy, right? But I understood this, and so I've been able to call it because I was not confused from the beginning about what was really going on.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't fall for these guys. I know you're not going to. But keep your message. Keep it going, even though they laugh and everything. I watch you, on those interviews. And those guys are buffoons.
And what's amazing is these same people who I've been on these shows with for years, who have to know how right I've been, you think anybody, there has not been one person who I've ever debated with who has ever sent me an email or a card who said, you know what, I gave you a hard time, but you know what, you were right. Hey, I got hats off to you. Hey, great call. Not one person has ever said to me, actually on Bloomberg, and Steve Leisman one time did say, hey, I got it, you've been, but, so he a little bit nodded his head to me a little bit. And, yeah, there was one guy on Bloomberg that gave me but those were the hosts. None of the people who I've actually debated against, the people who they pit me against, none of those guys, have ever, given me 1 ounce of credibility.
Well, there's a lot of people out here who do. I hang with bears, and a lot of them are saying there's going to be deflation first, but they're wrong. You're the only right bear. Not only are you better than the bulls, you're better than the bears.
Well, I mean, the problem with the bears who think there's going to be deflation, they don't understand the money problems. I mean, there is deflation right now. If you're going to define money as gold, of course there's deflation. Prices are falling every day in terms of gold. So if you want to call that deflation, that's fine, and that's happening, right? Prices are falling. If you want to define deflation as falling prices, prices for everything are falling right now if you're measuring them in gold. But the problem is, in terms of U.S. currency, prices can't fall that much because the Fed won't let them. They just keep printing the stuff.
Yeah. And that's your power. You call these things that people can't see, but you clearly give an example, and you just cut right through the nonsense. It's great.
Yeah, I'm planning on ultimately doing a commentary. I have this, I'm so busy about deflation, inflation, and explaining why there's so much confusion on these issues.
Okay, one more thing. Mm-hmm. I am moving my 401k because I'm quitting my job, so now I'm releasing that money. So half of it's going to go to Euro Pacific, and half I'm going to trade with. Can you do it half and half when you roll over a 401k?
Well, yeah, you can have more than one IRA. You can designate more than one custodian, and you can still have an account with Euro Pacific Capital and trade that account. I mean, you can trade depending on how active you're going to be. I mean, we can.
Yeah, I'm really active. Like every 10 minutes, I do stuff.
Yeah, well, then you're probably going to want to do that because you're probably going to want to do that through an online broker because it would be difficult for us to do it competitively cost wise.
Half.
Just don't have
half because I want it to park. I want your knowledge to park it somewhere.
Yeah. No,
do pretty well myself, but
so what you want to do is you just set up two accounts and you go to your custodian and say, look, I want to send half my money here and I want to send half my money there. But just set them up as IRAs and you should be fine. You can have as many custodians for your IRA as you want.
Great.
And if it's a problem, you can roll the whole thing over to us, and then we'll roll the other half over to your other firm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have more comments, but I don't want to keep other callers if you have any.
All right, well, anything, feel free to call the office, talk to any of the reps. If you have any specific questions about how to go about this, I'm sure there are people there.
I will.
Especially out on the West Coast.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call, Walt. And let me talk to Leon from Illinois.
Peter, I talked to my stockbroker today, and I told him about your book, which I read, and I did enjoy it. What he said to me is this. He said that a couple years ago, it was typical for his clients to have 5 or 10% of their money in foreign stocks, But he said, now today is tipped to have 50%. And he said, with all the money that has run out into the foreign area, and with all everybody, he said, bets against the dollar now, he said, it's a sucker bet at this time. And he recommended to me, he said, go with the thing that you know and love, which I have just purchased, a 2007 Cadillac Escalade, which I got a real nice deal on. And so he told me, called me today, and he said, with the way that GM stock has gone down today, he put me into it.
Well, I think you're following the wrong advice. I mean, GM, you know, I've been negative on GM. They, you know, GM is going to have serious problems. You know, I would not be buying stock at General Motors. I do not know where the bottom is at General Motors. You know, the problem is a lot of other people bought those Escalades with borrowed money. They're not going to be able to pay the money back. The secondhand value on an Escalade is going to be, you know, GM, there's a lot of ticking time bombs in General Motors. They still have problems related to GMAC, which they spun off, but there's still liability there. There's pension problems. It's a mess. I would turn around and sell it back. You know, people get bad about, you know, I had a lawyer of mine who I work for. She doesn't have an account. She did some work with me. And, you know, a year ago, a year and a half ago, she was helping me, and I gave her some advice, and I told her to buy some gold. She bought GLD, and she bought it, and she was doing great with it. And she just sent me an email the other day, and she said, you know, I'm really pissed off. My broker convinced me to sell my GLD. You know, should I buy it back? And she sold it, you know, a while ago. And I said, what do you listen to him for? I told you to buy it, and I told you to hold it. But, you know, brokers are constantly talking people out of things that they should be doing. And, yes, certainly Americans have more money abroad today than they did 4 or 5 years ago. But you know what? They're going to have a lot more. This is just the beginning. This is an avalanche, what's happening. And if you're going to say, well, people are going to start going into the dollar, for what reason? Right, I mean, the dollar is low. Interest, you know, the Fed is keeping it too low. Inflation is running out of control. The mortgage problem is only going to get worse. We have 2 or 3 or 4 years of resets in subprime, prime, Alt-A mortgages. It's going to crush the economy. Housing prices have still yet to collapse. I mean, they're down, but they're nowhere near as low as they're going to go. It's only going to get worse from here. And you know, the dollar, even though it just started to fall, the dollar had its big drop in 6 years, okay, between 1972 and 1978. That was the major drop in the dollar, okay, and it was about a 70% drop over 6 years. Ever since 1978, it hasn't really gone too much below those lows. It's been trading in a channel up and down, but gradually trending lower. It wasn't until just these last few months that we decisively broke through those old support levels. And the dollar is now in uncharted territory, a bottomless pit. I think we are going to go through another major leg down in the dollar. This is just the beginning of that major leg down. We're going to drop, I think, at least another 40% minimum from where we are right now, potentially more. I've been predicting the dollar index would hit 40 once it decisively broke 80. We are now around 75. We are below 80. 80 on the dollar index is now the resistance. That's going to be a ceiling for the dollar. Any rallies near or slightly above 80 will run into heavy selling, and there's no place for the dollar to go but down. You know, this maybe is like when the NASDAQ broke 1,000 and it quickly went to 5,000. You know, this is we're going to move. It's going to be a big move, I think, and this is no time to be trying to bottom pick the dollar, to be thinking that, you know, the trade is too crowded. No, the sentiment is only going to get worse. It's going to snowball. It's going to be like a snowball rolling down a hill. It's going to gather momentum. It's going to get bigger and bigger as it rolls, and you do not want to stand in front of it. You will get steamrolled.
What my broker told me is that whereas the housing market problems in the U.S. are well known to all, the housing problem, real estate markets in Europe and Canada is not even being recognized.
Well, you know, they're not well known to all. People don't appreciate how bad these problems are. People think they're contained. I don't think our problems are well known. Our problems are enormous, and people don't appreciate how bad they are. And they don't understand our phony economy. You know, I don't care what other stockbrokers say. These guys have been along for years. I mean, these are the same guys that were touting the tech stocks and the dot-coms in the 1990s. They don't know what they're talking about. If they did, they would be saying the same things I've been saying. They'd be doing the same things I've been
saying. What he was saying is that what you were predicting was right 5 years ago, but he's saying it's old news now. Because the real
somebody can say, look, if somebody wants to say, okay, it's over, it's done, but you know, I don't think so. When it really is over, right? People are not going to be thinking that we have a good economy. Okay, when the dollar really does bottom out, everybody is going to be convinced that we're in ruins. Okay, we are going to be in a deep recession, and everybody's going to know it. Nobody's going to want the dollar. No one is going to be saying that inflation is low. Everybody's going to be saying inflation is running out of control.
Right now.
No, they're not. People still think we have a good economy, that we have inflation under control, that we're the GDP is growing, the subprime is contained.
Nobody's
no sense of panic. On Wall Street, nobody thinks there's a big problem. Everybody thinks that prosperity is right around the corner.
Everybody knows the U.S. economy has a problem. There's nobody that doesn't know that.
I differ with you. Every time I go on TV, I'm the only one that thinks there's a problem. Everybody else thinks that it's fine. Everybody else thinks this is Goldilocks economy, that we have a small problem in mortgages, but an otherwise healthy economy is absorbing it, that everything is great, that you know that we're the leaders of the world, that we're the engine of the global economy. They're dead wrong. And you know, and if you think that way, you're just mistaken. And if you want to follow the advice of another broker, I wish you luck, but I think you're going to lose a lot of money.
The people on TV think what you're saying, but the market is saying otherwise. All of the bets are against the dollar, against the United States.
No, they're not. Look, I know a lot of people are moving out of the dollar, but they're doing it for a good reason, and this is just the beginning. You know, you could have said the same thing in 1973, and you would have been so early. You know, gold in the 1970s went from $35 an ounce to $850. Oil went from $3 a barrel to $30. These were huge moves. We're just getting started. There's a lot more to come.
Can I ask you a question? When the Canadian real estate market and the European real estate market starts to crash, are you then going to tell us that, we got to get out of the Canadian dollars?
Because those countries don't have the same problem. I agree that real estate, residential real estate in Europe and Canada is overpriced, but their economies aren't built on that real estate bubble. Canada and Europe are not running huge current account deficits. They're running surpluses. They have positive savings rates. They have not been living off of borrowed money like we have. They don't have an upside-down economy. They don't have, you know, our economy is not viable. Theirs are. You know, there's a big difference between what's our real estate bubble and theirs. And it's our currency that is in dire need, that is on life support. It's not the Canadian dollar. It's not the euro. That's why those currencies are going up. You know, I mentioned on television about 5 years ago,
already
average American earned
there's out. Not even but begun yet.
If you want to stay on the show, you're going to let me finish my sentence. 5 years ago, the average American earned about 70% more than the average Canadian. And today, the average Canadian earns about the same as the average American. That is a colossal collapse in the wealth of Americans. Next year, the average Canadian might earn 20 or 30% more than the average American. In 2 or 3 years, the average income in Canada could be twice the average income here. This is a complete disaster.
You're talking about what's happened over the last 5 years. We're talking about a reversion to the mean, which will occur over the next 5 years.
No, there is no mean to revert to.
U.S. rather
we
than
have destroyed our economy. We have cannibalized our industrial base. We have borrowed trillions of dollars, and we have not yet to pay the piper. Believe me, the massive economic collapse has not occurred yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get a lot darker before the dawn. But anyway, I thank you for your call, and good luck with that GM. You're going to need it. And let me quickly. I know I've got other callers on the line that have been waiting patiently. Let me go to is it Mark from California who's up next?
Yep.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Peter?
Well. Hey, let me quickly take a quick break. I know I got to do my last commercial, get a drink of water, and we'll be right back in a minute. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro-Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro-Pacific Capital.
Okay, we are back, and I'm talking to Mark in California. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Peter, that last caller sounded like Ken from all over the United States. You know, I think he likes to call in and bother you more than debate you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, anybody who's buying GM has my sympathy.
Well, I was very glad. I have some put contracts on GM, so I was very happy today. But sorry to see the large automaker going down the toilet. But, you know, I really want to thank you for the book Crash Proof. You know, ever since I read that, I moved a lot of money around. I got into GLD, and I'm really, really happy. Appreciate the book, and very easy to read, and just right on, spot on.
Yeah, you know, I think Kiplinger is coming out with something in a week or two. They're naming it one of the best investment books of 2007. And I just was told that Amazon, I couldn't find where, but my publisher said that Amazon had listed it as one of the best investment books of 2007 as well. As far as I know, it's the best investment book because every single piece of investment advice that I gave in that book, if anybody bought the book when it came out in February and followed the advice to the letter, they have achieved rather substantial returns over the last 9 months, that's for sure.
Well, I bought it in March and read it in March, and I switched everything around, and things have been chaotic, to say the least, and I've been doing great, so I really appreciate it.
Sure.
And then, you know, in the book you talk about a 1-to-1 ratio between gold and the Dow and how that's happened twice during the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Just curious if you see that happening again coming up here.
I do. I mean, that's, you know, I talked about that earlier. I said I do believe that, you know, now maybe it won't get exactly to 1-to-1, but it'll certainly get very close, I believe. And, you know, you don't know where that's going to be. I mean, it could be gold at 5,000 and the Dow at 5,000. That seems like a reasonable place for the two to meet. But, you know, if inflation is worse, it could be with the Dow at 10,000 and gold at 10,000, or it could be with the Dow at 20,000 and gold at 20,000. It really doesn't matter where they are. I mean, I guess it's possible that the Dow can go to 2,000 and gold go to 2,000. I think 5 and 5,000 is more likely than 2 and 2. But you know, you don't know, and maybe it doesn't make it to 1-to-1 this time. Maybe it makes it to 2-to-1 or 3-to-1. Maybe gold only goes to 3,000 and the Dow pulls back to 6,000. But whatever happens, the ratio is going to be a lot lower than the 16-to-1 that it is now. But remember, gold, the ratio got overstretched. It got to 42-to-1 in the year 2000, and stocks have steadily lost value in gold for the past 8 years. And I think this is an ongoing bear market, and I think it's going to continue for a long time until stocks get cheap relative to gold. And, you know, we're a long way from cheap based on historic measures.
Yeah, you know, I think CNBC and those different business shows, they can't buy into what you're saying because they're mouthpieces for Wall Street and the brokerages, and they can't admit to it. I think behind the scenes they know that you know what you've predicted is coming true now and it's spot on correct, but they just can't publicly admit to it. And then, you know, I saw you on Fox about a week ago, and you were on with the long-haired real estate guy. I think his name is Tom Atkinson.
He should be worshiping the ground I walk on, given the predictions that I made that have come true, but they don't even acknowledge it.
Yeah, I know it is. And you know that when they question your patriotism, I put you on the level with some of the founding fathers of the country when you talk about what we need to fix this country right now and why it's going off a cliff, why the government is taking this country off a cliff. You know, you got to really speak up for that. And
I mean, a lot of these people, you know, their definition of patriotism is basically, you know, my country right or wrong, you know, follow the government. You know, I mean, an American patriot doesn't look to the government. He looks to the Constitution, and he doesn't just blindly accept what the government tells him. And, you know, if your country is on the right direction, going in the wrong direction, the patriot stands up and says, hey, we're doing something wrong. You know, you don't just accept what your country is doing, even if it's wrong, and then say you're a patriot.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's what the country was founded on. I really appreciate you speaking up for that. You know, and also I saw Ron Paul was able to get like $4 million in one day.
Yeah, that money bomb. You know, I didn't even. Yeah, I mean, I know. And, you know, as I said, you know, I'm trying to help him raise some money. I've advocated on the show. I sent out an email, which is, you know, I'm still answering all the mails. I'm getting, you know, mostly favorable email, but I'm getting hate mail as well from even my own database. Even a few of my clients are upset with me that I endorsed Ron Paul. And so I'm trying to justify that. And, you know, maybe I'll lose a couple of accounts as a result. I'll certainly lose some subscribers to the newsletter, although I don't charge for that, so it doesn't really cost me. If I lose a couple of accounts, I mean, I've got a lot of accounts, and so if I lose a few, I lose a few. I feel bad if some clients feel that they can't work with me because they're upset that I support Ron Paul as opposed to, you know, their candidate of choice. But I would hope that people can separate, you know, investment advice from politics. But, you know, I have a real sincere reason for wanting to endorse Ron Paul. I mean, Ron Paul is the only person who really understands the economic problems that exist. He's the only person who, you know, who's running for office. You know, my whole investment philosophy over the years is based on a similar understanding of economics and money that Ron Paul has. And I see a lot of problems for our nation that Ron sees that none of the other candidates see. And so people who value my advice as a stockbroker should realize that that advice is coming for a reason. It's coming from an understanding of economics and government that no one else running for president has other than Ron Paul. And, you know, I certainly have a lot to profit. You know, if Ron Paul doesn't win, I am going to be filthy rich. I mean, I'm not hurting now. I mean, I'm doing very well, and you know, I'm making more money than I ever thought I could have made, and you know, and it's great, you know. But I'm making this money mainly because the U.S. economy is just doing so lousy, which is what I forecast, and more people are sending me money to invest, and more clients. I mean, I'm getting inundated with calls every day. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, the amount of inquiries I get and new accounts I get on a daily basis. And so I'm prospering because of, you know, the damage the Federal Reserve and the government are doing. Now, I would rather not be profiting from the demise of our economy. I mean, I'd rather be profiting from the strength of our economy. Unfortunately, I don't have an opportunity to do that. What I'm hoping is after the collapse, if we get a guy like Ron Paul in and he can make a difference and we can put in place a framework to rebuild this country, nobody would get more joy out of calling thousands of people saying, hey, we can come back in America. We can sell our European investments. We can sell our Asian investments, and we can invest in this country again. We can profit from the rebuilding of America. I mean, nothing would make me happier than to be able to do that. But, you know, if Ron Paul isn't president and we have five more years of these policies, I mean, everybody's going to have an account with me. The dollar will go, I mean, it'll be completely in a trash can.
Yeah, I agree.
The hand over,
you know. Yeah, I'd love to speak for a next book. You know, after Crash Proof, I don't know if you're working on something, but
You know, the publishers want me to write another book, but you know, they're not even promoting this one. I got to start promoting it myself. I mean, it needs to sell more copies. I mean, I don't know what the next book would be. You know, I'd like to write a book on, you know, how to get out of this mess. You know, because I do understand. The way out, but I mean, it's certainly there's no quick fix. But hey, I mean, thank you for your call. I think I got one more caller on the line. I want to make sure and get to him. All right, Mark, thanks for your call. Let me take the last caller for today, Mike from New York. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I just heard you speaking about Ron Paul, and I heard you say that, you know, if he didn't win, then, you know, the country would be heading down the same path. But what was your opinion if he was to win? What do you think would happen to our investments like gold or silver?
Well, I think our investments are going to do well regardless of the outcome of the election. The question is, and the reason that and it's not just a Ron Paul, because by himself, I don't know what Ron Paul can accomplish in the White House. I mean, I thought we had a Ron Paul and a Ronald Reagan, and he won, but he didn't do anything that he promised to do. But, you know, what we need is limited government, we're going to be in a huge mess. And we need constructive solutions out of Washington to try to return to sound money and return to limited government. Because only with that can we really get out of this hole. And if we get more big government policies, which we could very easily get from the other candidates, it's just going to make the job that much more difficult for us. And it's going to lay the foundation for a much bigger problem, potentially a hyperinflation. And remember, you know, the reason that we had the Great Depression was because of the bad policies implemented first by Hoover and then even more egregiously by Roosevelt. The Depression did not have to be. It was a creation of government. Now, of course, what led to the Depression or the crash was the irresponsible monetary policies of the Federal Reserve during the 1920s, which inflated the bubble in the market, which ultimately burst. The bursting of that bubble created a lot of dislocations, a lot of temporary pain. The free market would have fixed the problems the government created much more, you know, expeditiously had the government resisted the temptation to get involved. And the government got involved, and they screwed it all up. The problem is, the Federal Reserve under Greenspan and now Bernanke is making far more mistakes than the Federal Reserve did in the 1920s. The imbalances are much greater. Our economy is fundamentally in much worse shape. And the fallout from the bursting of this bubble is going to be much worse. And the fear that I have most is that the politicians come in and make the same or worse mistakes that were made during the 1930s and really turn this into something that is an even bigger disaster than it has to be. Ron Paul understands the mistakes that were made in the 1930s. He understands what caused these problems. Maybe if he's in Washington, maybe he can help the Senate and the House understand them too. Maybe he can level with the American public, and maybe we can get some sensible policies out of Washington, not trying to just wave a magic wand and make the problems go away with big government and regulations and spending and inflation, but rolling back government, you know, making government smaller, getting rid of the income tax, getting rid of the burdens on our economy, and you know, opening up or releasing the spirit of freedom and entrepreneurial capitalism and all the things that enabled us to build such a prosperous America in the first place, we can rebuild it. You know, I mean, Japan rebuilt after from the ashes of World War II. Look what Germany did. I mean, we didn't lose a war. Our streets and our factories weren't bombed out of existence. We still have some infrastructure. We have a good communication system. I mean, it's not a hopeless case. But, you know, the politicians and the attitudes that exist today are so wrong that there's a big danger. And, you know, that's why I want to have a guy like Ron Paul. And even if Ron Paul doesn't win, we need to get this message out there so maybe it will influence policies in a different administration if more people understand the truth of how we got into this mess in the first place.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that answers that. But in this type of atmosphere, do you think commodity prices are going to keep increasing?
Oh, sure. I mean, because the dollar is going to keep losing value. But again, and it's not just the dollar that's losing value. What's actually happening is all the currencies in the world are losing value. You know, the euro isn't strong either. It's losing value, too. Oil prices are rising in euros. Gold prices are rising in euros. All the countries are inflating. Everybody is debasing their money. It's just that we're doing it the fastest. So all currencies are sinking, just that the dollar is sinking faster than most.
So with the commodity prices all rising, now let's say you want to go out and build a house or build housing or whatever.
Well, why would you want to build a house? You can just go buy one in a couple of years from somebody who already built it for a fraction of what it would cost you to build one. But yes, the cost of building houses is going to go up, but the cost of buying them is going to go down.
Well, the cost of building houses won't put a floor, you know, the price will have to drop.
Eventually, but we have to get rid of the glut first. And that's going to take a long time because we had such massive overbuilding. Anyway, I'm running out of time. Apparently, I'm in the last minute, so thank you for the call, and feel free to call again.
Thank you.
All right, anyway, thanks again, everybody, for listening. You know, make sure to visit my website, www.europac.net. buy a few copies of my book, Crash Proof. I want to show the publishers that there's a reason to promote this book. I'm thinking about spending some money myself because we really got to get the word out there. But the more the book sells, the more the stores will be interested in carrying it. So buy the book, give it to your friends. It'll make good Christmas presents to educate people. Again, thanks for listening. I'll be here again next week, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Thanks a lot. So long.